everybody. It's a cold winter night here, the 2nd of February, and I want to welcome all of these brand new voices that I've never heard on this call before. It's always amazing to me that every Monday night we have brand new people who've never heard about this conference call, never had the opportunity to get on, and of course there's always those tried and true faithful ones who are here every single Monday for this training call. For those of you that I have not yet had the opportunity to meet, let me just tell you a little bit about myself. John just did a beautiful job giving you an overview, but let me just fill in a couple of the blanks. First of all, I am a female. A lot of people think Danny is a guy, and I can understand why. But I am a female, if you haven't figured that out. And I am a mother of 5 children. I'm married. My husband Hans is usually the person that does these introductions for us, and JP fills in now and again and does a great job at that. But I am a mom, a wife, a child of God, and I've been in business. This is my 15th year. April 6th, I believe, is my application date. For actually the second opportunity I ever got started in. But many, many years ago, I was introduced to this industry, and it was interesting. I was invited to a presentation in somebody's home, and it was by a coworker of mine, and it was on a new job, so I was kind of just trying to get familiar with the people I was working with, and I was invited over. They didn't tell me it was a meeting, but I was just kind of invited over for hors d'oeuvres or whatever, and wound up in an Amway meeting. And I was working for JCPenney's at the time as a pest and decorator. And the lady, I just felt bad for her. I was the only person that showed up. She kind of practiced on me with the whiteboard presentation. I felt bad. I bought the $110 kit, walked away with, I don't know, 200 pounds of foil. Cost me $8, and I thought, man, that was an expensive foil. And I really didn't think anything of it. She dragged me down to Merced, California to a church meeting, and then after church, all the Amway distributors got together and talked about their businesses. And, you know, it was my first introduction to people being self-employed. Being an entrepreneur, making your own hours, making as much or as little as you want. I was 19 years old when I first got introduced to that entire concept, and I really didn't grasp it till many months later. That was December of 1988. And finally, a few months later, actually February, John Paletti introduced me to another business opportunity where I listened to a guy scream on a conference call, and they had it on a speakerphone, and he just screamed for like a half an hour, and he was making 6 figures monthly, and I thought, whoa, that's a lot of money, and this guy is like screaming. And when I finally got to meet him, he was permanently red. He was just red. But anyway, he made a tremendous amount of money, and he was just in his 20s. And after 60 days of me being absolutely stubborn, pig-headed, egotistical, and arrogant about network marketing, I was drugged to a meeting that was an 8-hour training school where I was bribed, you know, I was bribed dinner in order to go, and that's how cheap of a date I was, dinner. And I went to this training, and I heard a guy who spent 25 years in the corporate world as an engineer lose his job after 25 years and wind up with nothing. And his words echo in my ears, and he said, do not do what I did and waste 25 years of your life building the equity in somebody else's company. I wound up losing it all. Today I make more money monthly than I did all year long working in the corporate world. So don't make the same mistake I did and waste 25 years of your life. And I thought, whoa, man, I'm 19. And it really made sense to me when he said that. And so I immediately jumped, all fours, straight into a business that I knew nothing about, in a product line I had no knowledge of at all, and wound up failing the very first 6 months that I was in that business. Failed miserably, couldn't sponsor anybody, couldn't sell any product. Man, I'm telling you, I worked hard and couldn't make anything happen. It was almost as though I had the plague or something. People were doing everything possible to avoid me. And I did what the company told me to do. They told me to do these 10 steps, put this little water filter on the sink, and people were supposed to buy. And, man, no one bought. I put hundreds of these things out, and no one bought anything. You want to talk about a discouraging time? It was very, very discouraging for me, and almost wanted to quit. But for some reason, I didn't. I look back and think, man, what the heck did you stick it out for? Well, I was nearly running out of money and rooms on my credit cards, and I ran into a guy that was 4 years older than myself who was making $15,000 more a month than I was. He introduced me to his mentor and a training seminar that massively changed his life. And so I went to this two-day seminar, and it changed everything that I was doing because I was focusing on the wrong product. I was focusing on the wrong people. I was focusing on everything wrong. And in that 2 days, man, something girded me up to believe that I could do it and that I could make things happen and that it could work for me, and just like it's worked for so many others. For some reason, something clicked. And in the next 8 days after that 2 day seminar, I made $4,000, which was more money than I made 6 months combined. The following month, the next check was $11,000, following $15,000, next one $21,000, and I had just turned 21 years old at that point. And so I've had extreme failures in this business, and I've had extreme successes. The next failure that I had after making a tremendous amount of money, being all of, I just turned 21 and saw a beautiful five-figure income in 1 month, pushing forward to make a six-figure income that year, ran off and married somebody who drained my bank account, maxed out my credit cards, and left me with a $35,000 debt. I wound up completely homeless, living in the back of a car, living in a state that I had not wanted anything to do with. And I know there's some people on the line from Hawaii tonight, but that's where I lived. And I was a cowgirl living on the beach in Hawaii. Talk about a square peg and trying to fit in a round hole. It just was not the place for me at that time. I liked horses, and here I was, homeless, living on a beach, far away from anybody that I knew, totally destitute, 50 pounds overweight, $35,000 in debt, lost all my dignity, dreams, everything. My fairy tale marriage turned into a nightmare. In the midst of getting married, my upline stole everything that I had from my business. And so I lost everything, lost that beautiful six-figure income, lost what I thought was a dream marriage, all of it, and literally came to a point of suicide. And it was interesting how I believe God backed me into the business, and it was through a problem. My rear end was too large. I wasn't fitting into any of my clothes that were all elastic waist, and hello, I had no money to buy anything else. And so I wound up getting desperate and getting backed into the business, and it was awesome. It was a different business at that point. We dealt with weight loss. And made $250,000 that next 12 months. I mean, that blows my mind. When I hear John tell that story, it's just crazy. And then the next 2 years became a millionaire. By the time I was 23 years of age was the first time I made my first million. And went on to make several beyond that. So the deal is this. I've had ups and I've had major downs. I've had things that have helped me tremendously in the business. I could spend 7 straight days with you, 10 hours a day, pouring into your life and pouring into your skill level, your personal growth, and your people skills to enhance your business so that you can earn that six-figure income that you desire to learn, so that you can help people in a fashion that you really want to help them, so you can add more fun to your life, because most of our lives have become so awful and stressful and mundane and mediocre and less than average and sick and disgusting and pathetic that we can, like, you know, press rewind and play again, and all we're doing is repeating the day before yesterday. And so what I hope to do in you tonight is to stir up some things that maybe you're doing in your business that could be a hindrance for your business, simple things as language that you may use that perhaps is a distraction from your prospects. Now, from time to time, we get emails of people asking questions, and I'm going to answer some of those questions that I get tonight. And feel free, if you have questions that you would like for me to answer on these conference calls, because they are an open call, meaning we have several different companies represented on this call tonight. We are not selling any product. We are not selling any compensation plan or any particular company at all. This call is unique because it's designed to help you. Just you. I'm not here to sell you your product. I'm not here to sell you moving up in your comp plan. I don't benefit if you do anyway. So the deal is, though, that I'm here to sell you on you becoming a professional networker, you earning a professional level of income with the same amount of hours of time and effort that you're putting into it right now, but enhancing your income and your profits tremendously. Because we all have 24 hours in a day. What decides the people who make six figures a month and those who don't even come close to making one figure a month? What's the difference? We all have 24 hours in a day. There's something different that those people who earn a tremendous amount of money do than the ones that don't, okay? So what I want to do is shed some light on some areas where you can improve your business to bring it up to the next level that I know you desire it to be. I do know this. The more that my skill level increased, man, the less time it took me to make more money than it took me before making less money. I hope I didn't confuse anybody. But do you hear what I'm saying? the more my skill improved, my language, my presentation skills, my prospecting skills, closing skills, retailing skills, the more my leadership skills, the more I learned and the better I improved on my personal growth and in my people skills, man, the easier my business became. And that's what I will tell you. In the beginning of building your business, it's the worst. Oh, it's lame for most people. It's horribly scary, and it's terrible, and there's big walls of barriers that go up that say, no, don't call Joe. Man, he'll laugh at you. There's all of that, those barriers that we go through and things that we think that stop us from taking the next step. Once you can get beyond that place, then you will absolutely blow your mind at how simple it is. And actually, check this out. You will get from hard to simple to easy to a blast, to having an absolute blast to the point of it being almost addicting, literally, almost being addicting, and that you'll feel low on the days that you can't work your business, or you'll be like, oh, man, I just want to talk to somebody. And this is really how it can get. That's how it is for me, where it turns into a blast to do it. It's like playing basketball for me. It's fun. You know, how many slam dunks can you make happen today? That's the way your business will become for you. I promise you, if you stick it out long enough, it'll get to the point where it's a blast, it's fun, and you'll make so much more money than you ever did in the beginning, because the beginning is the learning curve. And so feel free to email me and email your questions to me. I'd love to handle those questions on these conference calls as I can get to them. You can contact me at DaniJohnson.com, which is D-A-N-I Johnson.com. And if you're American, you can't spell Johnson, there's a problem. J-O-H-N-S-O-N. DaniJohnson.com. Danny with one N and an I. But go to DaniJohnson.com. There's a contact area that you can contact us, and email me your questions if you have any, or comments if you have any, whatever. You can do that anytime. Also on that website, you can actually download all the past conference calls, or almost all. The past conference calls called Conference Call Vault. And in that vault, there's hours and hours and hours of training that is available for you and anyone you know for free, literally for free. There it is on that website. I don't know how long it's going to be available for free for you, but go ahead and go to that website and download all those past conference calls. And the key is get your people to do the same thing, because you want to duplicate your efforts in everything that you do in your business. Now, many of you have been on a lot of my calls. Many of you have been to the training seminar, for example, the one that we just did in Reston. We've got one coming up February 28th and 29th in Sacramento, California. You've heard me talk about expose, involve, and upgrade. Tonight, we're going to focus on involve, because this is a key part of your business. I did touch on this in Reston, Virginia, two weekends ago, I believe. But I'm not going to cover the same thing that I talked about then. As far as involvement goes, this is what I want to talk to you about. Whether it's conference calls, one-on-one group presentations, home parties, whatever, what I mean is this, is your conduct during the involvement phase when you are getting others involved in your business. Meaning, you're getting somebody on a conference call. There's some things that you don't want to say and things that you do want to say when you're getting people on that call, because that's the involvement part, okay? Meaning, exposure is expose the business opportunity to your prospect. Involvement, you get them involved. You get them to hearing other people's stories, hearing the presentation again, going through a training, a conference call like this one tonight, or a conference call like the one I'm doing Thursday night for Cutting Edge Media or AMS Corporation, whatever. The conference calls are a great source of involvement. Or group presentations in hotels or what have you, and then home presentations. These are absolutely vital for your business. Your business will not survive without it. Yes, there's a lot of people out there and all the internet gurus that are building their business and have network marketing on the internet, strictly digital, not relational. We have all seen them come to a screeching halt and crash. When there is no relationship, people have a tendency of getting frustrated, ticked off, and they have absolutely no loyalty. So the big missing link in all of the digital world that is growing like crazy has been involvement. People touching, feeling, seeing, hearing other live breathing bodies, not just a computer, living breathing bodies who are actively involved, excited about their opportunity. And so involvement is absolutely crucial for your business, whether it's on the phone or live face-to-face, it has to happen. Now, during the involvement phase, and mind you, and this is where I'm coming from. Some of you are not going to like this call at all, at period, end of story. And some of you are going to wind up hating me as a direct result of this call. I want to ask for forgiveness ahead of time, because I want you to hear my heart and I want you to know where I'm coming from. I'm coming from a place of this. If you knew, if you, well, no, let's not if you knew. let's say you were doing something in your business that was hurting your business, and you did not know that it was hurting your business. You had absolutely no idea that it was hindering your sales, and that if somebody told you that it would totally ignite your sales, increase your closing ratio, increase your ratios of your team being built. Most people in network marketing never get the chance to build a team. All they may do is get a couple of customers or one or two distributors, but never, ever get beyond that to build a team. And really, the reason is so simple, so often, is why it doesn't happen. One, people quit. Two, is that there's verbiage that they use that exclude people out of their business, and so they're not building a team. Since I caught onto that 15 years ago, man, it just made sense to me to build a team, because as a team, we can move mountains on our own. Forget it. It's not going to happen. But together as a team, we could collectively cover each other's weaknesses with other people's strengths and vice versa. And so this is what I want you to be in the mindset of, and take a deep breath. Okay. Are you teachable or are you unteachable? For me, if I'm doing something that was hindering my business, and it was a major thing, and I have this stumbling block, or I have this plateau, and for some reason I can't break through it, I would want to know, what is it that I'm doing that is hurting my business? I'd want to know. For example, let's say that I had, let's say there was some sort of language that I was using that was so offensive, but it wasn't to me because, well, to be quite frankly with you, I grew up in a house where the F word was in every other sentence. Well, I mean, every swear word you could imagine, sick and disgusting and vulgar, was used in every single paragraph every single day of my life up until I was 16 when I moved out of the house. And so that was a part of my language for many years, even though I'm a Christian. Many, many, many years serving God, still had that vulgar, disgusting mouth that can be hindering to other people, and they can use it against you. And so anyway, so what I want to encourage you to do and challenge you to do is decide right now, am I going to be teachable or am I going to be unteachable? Because what I will tell you, if you got an unteachable spirit on this call right now, you're wasting your stinking time. You are. You are so wasting your time. You're wasting your phone bill. Big time wasting your phone bill. So hang up now. If you're in the, oh, come on, this doesn't apply to me. I'm above this. Hello, I'm sorry. But you're not going to get far. Because here's what I will tell you. The people that I know that I've studied for years, major multimillionaires, many, many of them through the last 15 years of my career in this industry, is I've learned from everybody, even some of them who've made less money than me. I've even been in points where I've met successful millionaires who are down in the dumps, and man, to see their humble heart and them wanting to learn and grow, then they're able to get off their feet again and make their business happen again. Listen, the bottom line is there are major peaks and valleys in our life, and if we are unteachable in those valleys, I can guarantee you we'll never get to that peak again. And if you are unteachable on that peak, woohoo, that peak is about to turn into a valley. It's a guarantee. And I mean an absolute guarantee. The points where my business has been the most successful is when I was humble and teachable, willing to listen and learn from anybody that I come in contact with. And so I can't encourage you enough to do that. So now that I've prepared your heart and shared you with mine, let's talk about this. Okay, let's talk about some words that we use that are absolute hindrances to our business, okay? For example, here's a couple of do's and don'ts, and this is all geared around involvement, all geared around presentations, one-on-one conference calls, or whatever, being face-to-face with people. One thing that you do not want to use in your presentation is the word sell. Let me tell you right now, if I were to open up the lines and ask everybody on this call right now, how many of you got involved with your business because you wanted to sell? That'd be a big fat no. There's no question. But if I ask the question of how many of you do not like to sell, I'm telling you 99% of you would say, I don't like to sell. I don't like to sell. Take it out of your vocabulary. Take it out of your business presentation. Take it out of your training. You want to say move product or retail or market. These are three other options that you can use. Maybe your company already has another greater way of saying it. But I'm telling you, for most of the people who hear the word sell, woo, something cringes up their spine. They're like, no, not that word. No, not that word. And then here comes the objection. I'm not a salesperson. Okay? You provoke the objection when you are constantly selling. You can go sell to your friends. Take that phrase out of your vocabulary. Go sell to your friends. Hello? You're talking about something no one wants to do, especially in this day and age with network marketing being as old as it is. There's a club out there called the NFL Club, the No Friends Left Club. I mean, people come in with that objection. And so when you are selling your business opportunity, and you're saying go sell to your friends, you lost like 90% of the room right there. So take that out of your vocabulary. Do not use that. You want to use move product, retail product, or market products. You can market to your center of influence. You could market to various different mediums out there, advertising, internet, radio, to your center of influence, whatever. Networking amongst friends, whatever. But change that vocabulary so that you are not striking a chord in somebody. Just like, for example, right now, if I use that four-letter dirty F word, it would strike a chord with many of you. Would you be like, what'd she say that for? And that's what's happening to some of your prospects when you are saying sell and go sell to your friends and family members. Gosh, man, I run into amateurs in this business all the time. Gosh. People say to me, especially where I live, it's like home party heaven up here in Sonora, California. And you know how people who come up to me and say, Danny, do you want to have a home party so you can sell some of this beauty control to your friends? No. No, I don't think so. That's like my initial, that is my, and by the way, I have grown to learn to love how to get it, how to market products. I don't like selling. I love helping people make a decision that's best for them. If this is what they want, not because it's what I want. But see, if you, and go to past, go on online and get the CDs from North Carolina and you'll understand where I'm coming from, because if you start the foundation of your business, focusing on the prospect and what the prospect's needs are, and you find out what those needs are by building a huge rapport, getting your prospect to talk about themselves, once you've done that, they will tell you everything that you need to know to be able to get them into your business. And that's if you apply duct tape, and if you don't know what I'm talking about, get the CDs from North Carolina. Anyway, do not say sell to your friends. Don't say sell. Take it out of your vocabulary. Here's another one. And by the way, this is what decides the amateurs from the professionals, by the way. Come buy from me. Oh, my gosh, many months ago I had a gal call me and say, Danny, I want you to buy some of the stuff from me. She had no idea, by the way, that I'm a network marketing trainer. She had no clue. This is a mom from the school who said, come buy from me. In all of her zeal, brand new in the business, clueless approach to try to get someone to buy products from you. Now, I guess if she says that to 1,000 people, you know, maybe eventually she'll sell something. But if you want to increase your odds, do not approach people with that. Come buy something from me. Come buy my phone service from me. Come buy my vitamins from me. Come buy my legal service from me. Take that out of your vocabulary. Do not say that. If you are starting your business from the foundation, from those CDs from North Carolina, I promise you that if you do what is shown there, which I don't have to do, I don't have time to do tonight on the call, build a rapport by asking them about their family, occupation, recreation. You will find their need. Customize the presentation around their need. Do not approach people with come buy from me. Period. I don't care if it's your friends. Here's something else too. When you're wrapping up your presentation or during the involvement thing, this is what you can say is, you know, are you ready to feel better? For example, if this gal called me and said, Danny, oh my gosh, I'm so excited. I found something that's making my skin feel better. Are you looking for anything that would help your skin feel better? I'll tell you right now, 9 out of 10 women are going to say yes. Are you looking for something to make your skin look younger? Yes. And then some of us might get offended by that, but it's a much better shot than come buy from me, if you know what I'm saying. Okay, so anyway, it's a simple thing to turn around. You know, if I'm talking to a prospect, and let's say I'm trying to retail my products, then that's, I would find a need first, and then my closing statement would be, are you ready to feel better, look younger, and live longer? Are you ready to start saving money on that phone bill so you can spend that money doing other things? Are you ready to secure your future by having the right kind of legal services just ready and available to you right now? Are you with me? Are you ready instead of come buy from me? Doesn't that sound so much better? Here's another thing. You can insert the word willing. I love that word. It disarms the prospect big time. Are you willing to just give it a shot? So that you'll be so happy with your skin. Are you willing to just give it a shot so you can save that money on that phone bill so you can go spend it someplace else? Or are you willing to just get started in a business where you can get out of debt? Those kinds of things, okay? All right, going to the next page because I have pages and pages of these do's and don'ts. All right, here's another one. Don't say get involved. Do you want to get involved in my network marketing opportunities? Ah, beep, wrong answer. Don't say that. You want to say get started. Are you ready to get started so that you can get on your way to financially being out of debt? Are you, and again, customize it around what the prospect said their needs were. So are you ready to get started so that you can pay for your kids' college education if that was their need? Are you ready to get started so that you can get, so you can lose that 50 pounds you said you wanted to lose? Are you ready to get started? And lower your voice, by the way. I use the crinkle nose in person, by the way. Many of you have been to trainings years past. The crinkle nose works almost every time. But yeah, are you ready? Are you ready to get started? Okay, don't say get involved. People don't like to get involved. Oh gosh, if you call me about getting involved in something, I think I'd cry. Why? Now I'm a mother of 5 children. I have a husband, which means I am a wife, which is a full-time deal right there. We have 4 businesses. I travel and speak all over the country, just am getting ready to travel internationally. Get involved with something else? I don't think so. That would like be the first thing out of my mouth. No, I don't care what it is. I don't care if you were bringing me over suitcases packed with money. My response would be, sorry, I don't have the time to unpack them. Okay? So do not say the word get involved. People don't want to get involved. But getting started is liberating. Here's another one. Do not use this, oh gosh, man, this used to drive me crazy in the 80s, early 90s. In the business, in the business, in the business, in the business, in the business. I got started in the business, and in the business I did this, and in the business I did that. Next that, with our company, speak the language that they understand, okay? Don't say marketing plan. Let me show you our marketing plan. People don't understand what you're talking about. Compensation plan, profit plan. They understand profit. They understand compensation. Don't use the word commission. That is a scary word for the average American. The word commission only appeals to those hard-driving salespeople who like to sell. I'm talking yellow page advertising salesmen, car salesmen, hello, computer salespeople. They like the word commission, and they want to work on commission. But do not use that. In fact, they'll ask you that. Okay, what do I make on commission if I sell this? Then speak their language. But 90% of the people you are talking to, hello, they do not understand the word commission at all. It is a scary word, and it means sales. And the average American doesn't want to sell anything, and they don't want to earn a commission because it's scary. They've been taught that the good old-fashioned salary way is the better way to go. What a lie that is. Huge lie. Okay, here's another one. Don't use the word levels. When you get to this level, then you make this much, and when you go to that level, you make 40%, and when you go to this third level, then you reach the one diamond level, and the two diamond level, and the three diamond level, whatever your levels are, whatever gems they use, don't use those words. Positions. That is a position where you earn this profit or where you are compensated this amount, okay? Okay, oh gosh, take recruit out of your deal, okay? Recruit it. I recruited somebody. Here's a prime example. Oh gosh, man, and people are so funny, and this is really cute. And again, are you still teachable? Hope you are. Don't be taking any of this personal. This is just a way for you. This is a crash college course right now on how for you to improve your language so that you can improve your sales. Okay, for example, if you're sitting down in a one-on-one presentation with somebody, and you say, well, for example, yesterday I recruited Joe. 2 words that are F words in our business, okay, next to sell. You ready? And buy. Those are bad words. Okay, I recruited somebody. I is the first bad word that you use. Recruited is the second bad word, okay? That strikes a chord in your prospect. Your prospect's going, no, I don't want to recruit anybody. Okay, the only people that want to recruit people are 2 groups. One is the military. In fact, they have it on the outside of the door, recruiting office for the armed forces. Okay, those people want to recruit. Number 2 are headhunters. Yes, they are professional recruiters. They like that word. Let me see. How many of you have ran into any of them lately? Beep, wrong answer. No, but what I will tell you is this. 90% of the people that you are prospecting hate that word recruiting. Hate the word hearing them hear you say I. The word I, and when you go to creating a dynasty seminar, I'm going to get that word out of you. I excludes people. We includes people. Let me prove it to you. When you say I recruited somebody, well, let me tell you this. Number one, you could have never gotten that person started had the company written that presentation. Two, you could have never gotten that person started had the person who wrote, the intelligent person who wrote the sales copies to get the advertising done, had the newspaper hadn't been in business to be able to run the ad. Three, don't need to go any further. It's never I. You're not alone. And it's never you. And your success is so not dependent solely on you. This is a we deal. It's a team effort. It's a team effort in that you contracted in your network marketing company to develop products and compensation and technology and systems and computer stuff. Stuff is probably not a good word either. Anyway, but that's okay. But to develop all of that so that you would have a good, viable business to present to somebody else. Plus, not to mention the fact that someone had to teach you how to present it. So I is an inappropriate word, period. So here's this. We brought on board. Don't say, for example, let's say Mark Hetherington in Florida, who is on every one of these calls, and I'm so very grateful for his encouragement and his faithfulness to all of us being able to improve ourselves. So let's say Mark and I were in a presentation, and I'm presenting a business opportunity to him. And let's say that we brought in, or quote-unquote recruited Mary the day before. So let's say I'm at the end of the presentation, say Mark, for example. I recruited Mary yesterday. No. It sounds like Mary is a poor old sorry sucker who got recruited into something that she doesn't want to do. We've all heard those horror stories of people recruited into something they don't want to do. Don't use the word. You want to say this. Hey, Mark, just want to tell you a little story. We brought on board Mary yesterday. And boy, Mary is excited. Mary lives in New Mexico. She is ready to build her business. She's excited about the opportunity. The reason why she got started is because da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Okay? Remember, and last conference call I talked to you about stories and how important they are. This is what I would do. So are you with me? We brought on board instead of I recruited someone. Okay? So we brought on board. I can't wait for the emails on this call. Some of you are going to love it. Some of you are going to hate it. Okay. So recruited somebody, take it out. Here's another thing that we see people do every single day, which is hilarious. Here, are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready? Oh, where is it? I'm ready. Okay, here it is. Ready? Okay. Never use you as the example. Many of your profit plans, you know, when people are asking you questions, and let's say they say things like, okay. Let me fix somebody else. Okay, Robert from Florida. Roberta. Oh, yes, my favorite. Roberta from Florida, who I did not see in Virginia, girl. Want to meet ya. Okay, so Roberta. And Roberta and I are having a presentation. And let's say Roberta says, well, how do I make money? I say, okay, well, Roberta, I sign you up. I make $50. Beep. Wrong answer. Never use you as the example. You want to say, Roberta, let's just say that you bring in Amy. And Amy gets started with that, you know, fast start plan. You're going to make $100 every single time you are able to market one of those fast start plans. Does that make sense? Don't use you as the example to show how the profit plan makes you money. Do not use you. Take you out of it. Oh, gosh, man. Ooh. And we've seen people for years do that, years and years and years, and it's mostly brand new when you first get started, and it's a bad habit all the way up. Don't ever use you. Okay, let's say I brought you in. I make $100 because you buy this profit plan. In fact, let's make this more of a disgusting thing. Let's say Stephen in Arizona. Let's say, okay, Stephen, I sponsor you, and then I sell you one of these packs. And then you're recruited into my, oh, here's my most favorite disgusting word in this business, downline. Yeah. I recruit you into my downline, and I sold you one of these packs. So now I am going to make $100. Dude, I just blew out Steven. Prospect is gone. Okay, you ready? Let's back up. Okay, Steven, let's say you get started. And Steven, let's say you bring in Karen from New Jersey. When Karen decides to start in her business opportunity, and she purchases that Fast Start plan, you're going to make $100. Okay. I hope you guys got this, and I hope some of you are like so excited you need to go use the restroom or something like that. Okay, anyway, so that's that one. Hopefully that's been helpful. Here's another one. No one likes to go to a meeting. The company orientation, presentation, a presentation most people don't want to see. Company overview sends their little brain for a loop. Or I want you to come and meet somebody. That works. Do not say diet program. Word is terrible. First three letters are die, which is what you do when you get on a diet program. Weight management system, weight enhancement program. Okay, if you are in a health and nutrition company, do not say the word pills. Pills are associated with drugs, negative connotation. Tablets. Is everybody hearing me? If you are in a vitamin company, do not say pills. You want to use the word tablets. Sounds so much better. Pills has a negative connotation. Here's another one. And a lot of people do this. If you're interested, okay, or would you be interested in? Come on, guys, we know. Anytime anyone's using our personal list, the number one thing that we want to say is no. We don't even know what it is. They could be like, would you be interested in a suitcase full of money? It's free. We didn't even hear what's in it. No. Interested? No. No, I'm not interested in anything. Here's one. Would you be willing to take a look? Would you be willing to take a look? Would you be willing? Okay, like this is before trying to get them to a meeting. Would you be willing to take a look at a way where you could pay for that college education that you said that you wanted to do? Would you be willing to just take a look? It may not be for you, and that's okay. Would you just be willing to take a look? Okay? Isn't that beautiful? So much better. Would you be interested? No. Would you be willing? Are you at least willing? Are you at least willing? Ooh, kid, can you see the crinkle nose? Are you at least willing? You squint a little bit. Are you at least willing? Some of you are laughing. I know Roberta is. Okay, here's another one. This one makes me want to throw it too. Are you making what you're worth? Blah! Give me a break, man. That's so 80s and so NSA. Give me a break. Ancient, man. This is the 21st century. You got to step up to the plate and improve our language to not sound like a 1980s network marketer, okay? Because that's pretty sick. You want to say something like, and man, I hope I'm not being so opinionated that I'm blowing you guys out. I probably am. But that's okay. Forgive me ahead of time. Are you doing what you want to do? Okay, that's a great question to ask people. Are you doing what you want to do? Are you satisfied with your current level of income? Or do you feel you deserve more? Okay, great probing questions. Here's another one, 1980s. This has got to get out the door. Opportunity of a lifetime. It's an opportunity of a lifetime. Oh, my gosh. How many of you are still recovering from the last opportunity of a lifetime? Many of us. Do not use that phrase. And some of you guys, you're so new to the business, you don't know any better, and you're probably copying somebody from the 80s, and that's okay. Praise God that you're on this call. Don't say that. You can say something like, you know what, you don't want to miss out, or I really don't want you to miss out on this. You really deserve to be able to get out of debt like you said you wanted to. You really deserve that. Are you willing to at least look at a way that maybe it might be able to help get out of debt? Okay? All right. I use language like this. Rather than saying multi-level company or network marketing company, I never, ever, 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 ever in the whole history of all the years that I've been in this industry since my application first went in December of 1988, never have you said I work for a network marketing company or multi-level marketing. Ever. Never, 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 probably never, 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 never will. Why? Negative connotations. People from the 80s totally bashed the heck out of it, and it's multi-level marketing. Don't use it. We contract in manufacturing, or we contract in telecommunications, we contract in a distribution company. Use language that they understand. Don't use language that some other guy prostituted our industry and gave it a bad name. Use that, okay? I say use this. We work with an international marketing firm. That's cool. We contract in manufacturing and distribution centers. That's cool. Here's another one. This is something I'll tell you that I use and have used for many, many years. I work with a group of entrepreneurs who join forces because of strength in numbers, security, longevity, and prosperity. We capitalize on up-and-coming market trends. We're home-based. That's all simple, stupid words, and you can download this on the website tonight or tomorrow. Okay, here's a word. Take out of your vocabulary. Oh, Lord have mercy. Take this word out of your vocabulary. How many of you don't like being called somebody's downline? I don't. Oh, she's in my downline. Ugh, blah, 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 hairball. Terrible word. Here's why. And you know what? It's sad because that's what these are called. They are called downlines. But I just don't like the word, and here's why. It's putting down on people. Jim's in my downline. Does that make Jim feel good? No way. Man, if you really want to succeed in this business, it's about lifting other people up. And reminding people that they are in your downline is reminding them that you bought something from them or they sold you something. We want to lift people up. You want to help people to do better at this business than you do. You want to find people that are going to do better at this business than you could ever do. That's the beauty about the business that we're in of networking. It's awesome because you can get out there as a talent scout and locate people who cover your weaknesses. But don't ever call your people a downline. In fact, you've never heard me say it, and my sales force that's been with me for all of these years will tell you. They've never heard me address them as my downline. Here's why. Because it's putting down on people. Now, some people use that term very frivolously. It's just because that is a term that is what it is, and so there's a lot of people that probably butt heads with me on this, and that's okay. I let them win. But I personally call my team a team, my sales force, or marketing team. That's what we call it. That's what we call it. Doesn't that sound so much better? Our sales force, our marketing team, or just our team. Doesn't that sound so much better? I think so, personally. It feels better when I personally say it versus, you know, let's say that, you know, Kate, you know. Kate's in my downline. What, is Kate a number? Is she something to be owned? No. Do you understand? A part of our team, a part of our marketing team, a part of our sales force, a part of our company. It's so much better to lift people up with something simple as that. Here's another one. Oh, Lord have mercy. I don't know whoever came up with this term, but it's been very overused and not a good word. Under me. Don't use that word. No one wants to be under you. No one wants to be under you, and you sick minds letting your brains go there. Under me. Don't use it. It's terrible. What it's saying is that you are beneath me. That's what it's saying to the prospect. Because if you say, oh, I have 10 people under me now, well, he's going, dude, I don't want to be under you next. I don't want to be number 11. That's what I'd be thinking. I'm not going to be number 11. Okay? Or I just got someone under me yesterday. No. We don't, and I know it's totally innocent that these two words, downline and under me, I know they are completely innocent. And to you, you may think, that's nothing, it's stupid, you're like splitting hairs. No, because those words have meaning. And for me personally, I wouldn't want to be under anybody. Because it is an inferior position. Okay, so you want to say in our sales force, a part of our marketing team, or a part of our team. Whatever else that you can come up with that you want to call it. But do not address people as being under you, or in your presentations, do not say, you know, for example, Jim Kitson in Kansas. Hey, Jim, if you get started, you'll be under me. Or, Jim, you want to be under me? Don't say these words. These are amateur words. They have a negative connotation. And if you just improve that, it'll be awesome. And then, again, you want to replace I with we. You know, we would love to have you on board our team. That's like, okay, I'd like to be a part of something. People love to be a part of something, but they don't want to be under you. They would love to be a part of a marketing team. They'd love to be a part of a group of entrepreneurs who've joined forces for strength in number, security, longevity, and prosperity for all who are involved. Love to do that. They'd love to be a part of something bigger than themselves. Do you understand? People love that. But they do not like being under people or in somebody's downline. Okay, hopefully I've made a point or two. Okay, here's another thing. In fact, I'm not even... hold on 1 second. Let me go here, too. You want to make sure that every meeting that you do, whether it be your company president is doing a conference call, your upline's doing a conference call, your upline's doing a training, a meeting, or whatever... You really want to make sure, and this is on the tapes and the CDs, by the way, from North Carolina. There's 10 hours of training, which is a lot, for $97. Okay, so 10 hours of training for $97. and part of this is covered in here, and this is crucial. This is the one thing I would have paid $1 million for, because this is the one thing that has made me a tremendous amount of money. It's the one thing that helped me get tons of areas started and come out of nowhere making a tremendous amount of money. And that is, you want to build credibility and respect for your expert, the expert being the person that is doing that presentation. For example, if tomorrow night your company president is doing a conference call, if you just say, hey, Joe, I want you to get on this call, the president's going to be on. And, oh, gosh, here's a big one. Yeah, and, you know, the president and I, we go way back. Those people crack me up. You know, president and I, we go way back. Yeah, you know, President Jim, yeah, he's good. Yeah, anyway, why don't you get on that call? Well, what's that say to Joe? It says to Joe, is like, you know, you're real casual about the president, and there's not a whole lot of respect or credibility, nor is there any urgency for me to get on. It sounds like you and the president are chummy, and it sounds like, hey, I can get on any time in the next 10 years to get on a conference call. Do not do that. And that really is an ego trip to try to, you know, drop the name that you know Joe, you know, Joe Smith, the president of XYZ company. Don't do that. You don't want to go there. Yeah, it's okay, you know, that, oh, I had the chance to meet this person that was amazing. That's good. But, you know, hey, Joe and I, no. Oh, man, it discredits your president. It loses the urgency for that person to get on the call. And so whatever conference call that you're getting somebody on, you always want to build credibility and respect and urgency about that person. Because here's why. And, oh, gosh, man, we have filled offices around the country and meeting rooms around the country because, for example, my girlfriend Rohini, in Virginia, absolute master at this. John Poletti, master at this. Where we filled rooms with expectation because in the way that they built respect to the expert. You know, so, for example, if there was a meeting coming and it was the company president, and I'll just, do you mind, just say, listen, Walter, I just want to let you know how absolutely important this is. Because tonight, we have a rare find. The president and CEO, the man who invested everything to develop this awesome multi-million-dollar company, he's going to be available. You're going to see him with your own eyes. You're going to, maybe you might, I don't know, get the chance to shake his hand. I'm not sure. But a man of his credibility and stature and accomplishment. I mean, how often, Walter, do we get to meet people like this? This is an amazing person. You know what I love the most about him? He's not forgotten where he came from. He's a humble guy. You'll like him. I'll tell you this, Walter. If you never get the chance to ever meet somebody like this again, you will be glad that you took advantage this night to meet somebody like this. Really powerful person who's accomplished a lot of things. I mean, I just like the fact I get to rub shoulders with him once in a great while. Okay, do you understand versus, all right, well, tonight there's a meeting at 7. It's at the Red Lion. All right, I'll see you there. No. I wish that Rohini, I don't know if Rohini's on the phone right now, but she does the most amazing build-up job that there is. For example, let's say that the VP, or let's say that your sponsor, who's doing well, is going to be doing a training call. This is what we would do. Okay, I'm going to use Andy in Cincinnati as an example. I say, Andy, oh my gosh, this is so amazing. The person who has done so much. Yeah, Eddie, he's the one who got me started. This person is amazing, Andy. I mean, has done phenomenal things. Is totally climbing up our corporate ladder. And is really, he is doing something that is amazing tonight. He is putting on a training that all of us get the chance to listen to. You want to get on the call early, because very often, if you're not on early, you won't get in at all. And I will promise you, Andy, if you miss this, you will kick yourself so bad. Because you'll be hearing forever all these other people who are on that call and say, oh, my gosh, that call with Eddie. And you'll say, oh, I had the chance, but I forgot. Or, oh, I had the chance, and I. So, Andy, you got to make sure that when Eddie is on this call, you are taking notes. In fact, record it. Do you have a recording device? You want to record this because this will be priceless to you someday. Okay, anyway, there you go. There's an example. You want to build rapport to the, I mean, not build rapport. You want to build an expectation of the expert. Okay, you want to build credibility to that expert. It develops urgency and commitment for the person to show up. Here's the other thing, and let me just go through this very quickly. I have 6 minutes left. Here's some conduct for you. Number one, don't ever, ever, ever in a million years interrupt that expert. Don't interrupt the expert during the meeting. Don't interrupt the expert after the meeting. Don't interrupt the expert during the conference call, after the conference call, none of that, because you just blew all the credibility and the respect. You want to be in awe as you want the prospect to be in awe, okay? Man, we've had people fly thousands of miles just to meet the person. So you really want to learn the art of that. You want to be in Sacramento, because we're going to focus hard on that, because it makes a huge difference, huge difference. Anyway, don't ever interrupt the expert. If you are in a live meeting situation, I don't care if it's a home party, a training seminar like we were in Reston, or whatever, okay, live, people can see you. One, do not interrupt the expert during the meeting, after the meeting. Don't add to what the expert is saying, okay? Let's say the expert forgot a major percentage on the board in the form of the compensation plan. Do not say, hey, Joe, it's $50, not $20. No. In fact, I've had situations where I've had new people. In fact, JP, I think, remembers this. We were in Honolulu. I was doing a meeting in Honolulu, and one of my new guys, totally unteachable, he tried to tell me the way the compensation plan worked. I put the pin back on, and I walked out of the meeting. There you go, buddy. There's your 50 people. Good luck. You think you know the presentation so well? Get up and finish it. I turned around and left because my credibility was totally blown. And so do not blow the credibility of that expert. Don't finish their sentences for them. Don't add to what they're saying. Don't critique them in front of people. You're blowing the credibility of the expert. Big no-no, okay? Here's the other thing. If you do that to the expert, guess what your people are going to do to you? The same thing. The same thing. Here's the way we've worked with our team. When our team builds up the expert, oh, my gosh, it makes the job so much easier. And I promise you, if you learn how to do this, you'll just be blown away at how simple it is to close people. Because the expert will say, listen, this is how I think you should start. Start right here with this fast start pack. Okay. That's what your prospect will say to them. But say to you, no. Say to them, yes. Why? Because you did the job of building that expert up so they now respect the person. And they'll do whatever the person tells them to do. And so when you blow the credibility of the expert, it's over. Absolutely over. I've walked into situations where their credibility was built up so good that, man, we have a 90% closing ratio. Every single person in that room sign up. I've also had it in a room where the same amount of people, no credibility built up. Man, it's talking swimming uphill in mud. Nasty. Get out and leave. I mean, really, sometimes it's better to just do that. I talked about that in Reston a couple weekends ago where I just walked. I'm not interested in any of you. Anyway, here's another thing. You want to arrive early. You want to shake hands, smile, be dressed appropriately, professionally. You don't want to be all chummy-chummy with the expert, man. Rohini and I have worked together for years. We are best friends. Oh, in the delivery room with all three of our children. Do I know everything about it? Yes, but professionally, we have a very professional relationship. But meeting's over, man, we're chum. We love each other, and that's the way we respond with each other. Same with Hans and I. If you've ever been around the two of us, we're not, oh, honey, oh, none of that. No, we are professional. And then when the time is right, then we're not. You do not want to have children or pets in the background on your conference calls or live in any presentation at all. Not the place for it. You couldn't bring them in on your corporate job, paying you a six-figure income. You can have your children with you, so forget it. I think that's it. Yeah. Okay, let me answer this question. Somebody asked me, how important is it to believe in the products? Absolutely crucial. There were times where I lost faith in the product and the product lost me. All right. And that's for me. For me, it's absolutely everything for me to believe in the company and the product. Once I've lost faith, it's over for me. Some people who have a sales background could care less. Me, I have to know that what I have is good for people and that I truly believe in it. So there's the answer to that person's question. The other one is that there was somebody asking questions about, you know, what's better, live presentations or recorded calls. Both are good, and do whatever you feel works best for you. Everybody's different. I've used it all, and it all works. So whatever works best for you is really it. So anyway, we've got 2 minutes left, and this is what I want to encourage all of you to do. I hope that tonight I wasn't too harsh on any of you, and I hope that this was an encouragement to you to learn some words, to change your language, to enhance your income, because there's things that we say that distract people and detract them from the direction that we want them to go in. If you really want to learn how to master this business, and I can't think of another business to master because this is a business that will pay you six and seven figures working part-time from home, really the comforts of home plus and it's so awesome. Making your own hours, working those hours around your kid's schedule, like, for example, we have to do. The security in large numbers. Employing the efforts of other people. Employing the efforts of a company, executive staff, manufacturing, compensation plan, the technical side of things. Okay, systems. It's awesome to learn how to master a business where your efforts will eventually pay you 100 times more than what you're worth. And that's the kind of business that we're in. I was uneducated when I got started and educated myself and paid thousands of dollars to educate myself to learn how to get good at this. And it's been my chosen profession for a long time. I hope you choose to make it your chosen profession because it really does work. That's the reality. It really does work. Go to my website, give me any comments, any questions that you may have. Go to that site, get those CDs, get the CDs for your people, and next Monday night, this time, 7 o'clock California time, 10 p.m. Eastern, will be another conference call, another live conference call, where we will address new issues and exciting issues. Other than that, February 28th and 29th, we will see all of you in Sacramento, California. It's awesome, and I can't wait. I'm going to unmute the lines, and I want everybody to say goodbye to each other. Hold on. Okay, we are live. Everybody say hello or goodbye or God bless you or whatever.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye, Danny.
Bye, Danny.